The aftermath of LeBron's decision 3.0, breaking down what the Cavaliers may do over the next couple of months before they tip off the 2018-19 season. Feels like they just got done wrapping up the 2017-18 season. And here to talk about LeBron's departure and the next step for the Cleveland Cavaliers, a man who is kind enough to give us some of his time, even though he is technically on vacation right now, the one and only Rick Noland with the Chronicle-Telegram and Medina Gazette. Rick, as always, we really do appreciate the time. I know that you're going to get back to your vacation or back to resuming your vacation, but obviously LeBron's news coming down the pipe last night really kind of changed things a bit. We'll start with the next step for the Cavaliers, because much has been discussed about what the Cavs should do moving forward. Should they try and remain competitive and keep the assets that they've got, or should they trade away Kevin Love? In your mind, what's next for the Cavs?
Well, it's a really tough question. You said keep the assets that they have. The problem is they don't have many assets. Kevin Love, it would be very desirable. Beyond that, there's not a whole lot of proven talent. They got a couple kids in Jetty and Ante Zizic, but they're not going to bring in much in return. If you talk to most people, there's two schools of thought. You can try your best to cling to playoff contention, get the seventh or eighth seed, and likely get your brains beat out in the first round, or you can tank. I've never been a fan of tanking. It has rarely to never worked. Oklahoma City came real close with Durant, Harden, and Westbrook, and ultimately didn't get it done. Philly's got a chance going that route now with Embiid and Simmons, but it still takes a lot of things to go in your favor. That being said, I'm also not a big fan of going overboard to be average without the hope of being much more than average. And I think, quite honestly, that's their best-case scenario right now. Some people I've talked to think that this team has a chance to make the playoffs next year. I strongly disagree, and I would argue that they were the fourth seed with LeBron playing 82 games. I don't know how they're going to stay in the top eight without him, period. That being said, I'd listen to any and all trade offers, but I would do it with the intention of getting something of value in return. I wouldn't be doing it just to go 19-63 and try to get the number one pick in the lottery. I'm completely open, if I'm the Cavs, to trading Kevin Love, but I'm not giving him away. If the deal doesn't make sense, I keep him. Look at it again next year when he'll be even more desirable because he'll be in the final year of a contract and maybe just somebody wants him for one season and to be done. Beyond that, it's going to be a true test for Kobe Altman, what they can do, because the options are limited. They're still over the cap. They're not going to have to pay the luxury tax for much longer. But they've got some bad deals for this year. They got George Hill's going to make, I think, $19 million. JR's going to make almost $15 million. Tristan's going to make about $17 million. You might get something for Tristan. I think you couldn't get a bag of potato chips for JR right now, and I don't think you can get a whole lot more than that for George Hill, quite frankly, other than the fact that his contract's not guaranteed the year after that. You would have a huge cap space opening created there, but this is going to be a really tough situation, Andy. I don't think they're going to be, losers of 26 in a row like they were the first time LeBron left, but it's not going to be, if it's a playoff team, it's one that gets probably swept in the first round, and I think even thinking about getting in the playoffs right now is really optimistic. They're in the stage of developing young players. I think you try to get Colin Sexton as much time as you can, provided he shows he deserves it. Hope he develops into something special. And then you try to start continually adding pieces. But it's really, really hard to win in this league without superstars. And I don't consider Kevin Love a superstar anymore. So while some teams have two or even three, they arguably have none right now. So it's going to be a long road to hoe.
If you're to take a look at the trade market for Kevin Love right now, what do you think you could net in return for him? And I ask that only because, obviously, he's a good role player that certainly serves a purpose. And on a team that's looking to contend, he can obviously be a piece that puts them in a pretty good spot. What do you think he could net the Cavs in return?
You know, here's the thing. I obviously think they're looking to accumulate draft picks. And the best draft picks are the ones that are going to be, you know, foreseeably, as near as you can tell, in the high end of the draft. The issue with that is there aren't any bad teams in the NBA that are clamoring to get Kevin Love. If you're going to trade Kevin Love, it's going to be a team that's already contending and thinks he's a piece that can get them to the next level. The issue with that is then you're probably picking from 20 on in the draft, and then, you know, you flip a coin whether you even get a decent NBA player at that point in the draft. So I would want a proven player in return and a pick, at least one pick. But who's going to offer that, I don't know. And there's two ways you can go with the player you get back. You can get a player with multiple years left in his contract that you think, you know, you have in your system for 3 or 4 years, or you can try to get a guy back this year that only has 1 year left, so you can create that cap space next summer rather than the summer after with Kevin. But I'm sure they'll listen. You know, they went on record as saying they weren't going to trade him, but that's what they had to say with LeBron still here. And they're not going to just say, hey, world, Kevin Love's available, call us and give us your best offer. They're gonna try to maintain some semblance of control in this, all the while realizing they're not really in any way, shape, or form in a real position of strength with anything right now.
Rick, is there any thought in your mind that if they were to stick around with Kevin Love and try and make a run at the playoffs, they could be a desirable place for another free agent in a year or two, or do you think they have to build through the draft?
No. Okay. No. You know, the only free agent of any consequence that's really ever come here has been LeBron, and that's because he's from here. You know, we all love Northeast Ohio, but you know, nationwide, it's not L.A., it's not Miami, you know, it's not even Houston or Boston. Guys aren't exactly going to be lining up to come here when there's going to be so little here to help them. I wish I had more optimistic answers, and they can say they're trying to compete all they want. And that's one good. But I look at this team as a low 30-win team. And that's with, provided they, you know, sign Rodney Hood as a restricted free agent. They're going to need a guy like him to put the ball in the basket right now. But, you know, it's probably going to take you 43 wins, maybe 44, to get in the playoffs. And that's just to get in as the eighth seed. I don't see any way they can get to that number, and I've had discussions with other people who cover the Cavs, and they disagree. But I don't think it's going to be the you know, like I said, the 19-63 that we had when LeBron left the first time. Or I don't think we're going to have a 16 or 26 game losing streak in there. But this team just isn't really very good. That was proven throughout the postseason this year, and you know, the numbers are going to improve for a lot of these guys because they have to. LeBron's not going to be here to do everything and anything for them. Maybe a guy like Jordan Clarkson scores the ball, but I've always cautioned people, just because you score the ball in this league on a bad team doesn't really necessarily mean you're a real good player. And that was the case in L.A. He scored 14.5 points a game, and, you know, he came here. He struggled to dribble the ball. God knows he didn't pass it. So, you know, it's going to be a lot of opportunity for guys to make a name for himself here. But how much that translates into success, I'm sorry. I just it's hard for me to be optimistic. I'm a reporter. I'm not on the Cavs payroll. If I was on the Cavs payroll, I could sing you a whole different song about best case scenarios. But right now, I think we're in for a couple, 3 years of serious rebuilding.
We're talking Cavs with Rick Noland of the Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Quick question about this whole LeBron departure. I've got to ask this because it continues to pop up time and time again. You know, LeBron's out of the country. He's not going to make any more statements about this until he comes back, and we don't know when he's going to be available to make any comments about this. But in your mind, Rick, how much did this decision have to do with his relationship with Dan Gilbert?
I don't think a lot, Andy. I think his relationship with Dan Gilbert had a pretty big deal to do with how they got to this state, and by that I mean signing a series of short-term contracts in the win right now and lack of player development, and, you know, the amount of 33 and 34 and 35-year-old guys they signed, a la, you know, James Jones and Darren Williams and Derek Williams and Mike Miller and Sean Marionette, you know, that caught up to them, and that didn't pan out. And it was something they had to do because it was what LeBron wanted, and then they thought those guys could help him for 1 year. And you know, Richard Jefferson did a little, but that it didn't really pan out. Now, that being said, I think LeBron would have stayed here had there been more cap, you know, flexibility, more tradable assets than there was. He had a lot to do with that, like I just said, but it was done for him because of him, and they made four NBA finals, and that was the price they paid for it. Now, going to LA, I think it was because of what they offered, both from a basketball perspective, a lifestyle perspective, and an after basketball perspective. I mean, we're talking about a business mogul here who has his eyes on Hollywood. You know, either when it comes to being in movies, producing movies, music, whatever he goes into, that's now right in his backyard. So that, and you know, the enticement of playing with a Lakers team that you know can do a lot of things over the next 12 to 14 months was something I'm not surprised at all he passed up, even with the failure of, so far at least, of Paul George or Kawhi Leonard to go with him. I totally felt stronger every day that this was the direction it was going, and I didn't think it would happen last night at 8 o'clock like it did, but, you know, at least it was as painful and as quick as it possibly could be. And there, you know, I didn't get to see him in a red checkered shirt talking to Jim Gray, taking his talents to Tinseltown. You know, the Clutch Sports announced it. We all got to work. People vented, and you know, the sun came up today, at least for a little bit, out here in Medina. And now it's time to move on and then go to the next chapter of Cavs basketball, whatever that might be.
I want to throw this lineup at you, and just kind of curious as to your thoughts.
It's not going
to
be a good one, probably.
You just mentioned that regardless of what they throw out there next year, you're thinking 32 wins might even be a little bit optimistic. But I've just got to throw this at you because, you know, in the world of Twitter, you get some good ideas, you get some bad ideas. I saw this thrown at me earlier. I thought, okay, well, it's worth discussion. So your point guard is Sexton. Chet is your two, Rodney Hood your three, maybe Love's your four, and then Nance is your five. Obviously, that's very, very small, so there would be some concerns there. If that's your starting five, obviously you've got some pieces coming off the bench then with JR and Tristan and George Hill. But if that's your starting five, is 32 wins a little bit too optimistic?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Probably. you know, that's that. I to me, and I, you know, I'm talking to people who think they're going to win close to 40 or low 40s. I just can't possibly see it. Let's remember, they won 50 last year, and they did some work to get to that. It's just not a very deep or flexible roster that they have there. First thing I would do is tell Kevin Love to start eating some pasta and put 25 pounds back on, and because we're going to need you to play like you did in Minnesota, pal. You're going to have to rebound. You're going to have to put some bulk on, score some inside, score a little bit off the dribble with strength, which he hasn't shown much of recently. And beyond that, I don't know what they have that you really can count on. Now, if you're the Cavs, you can hope and pray that Jetty blossoms with a big opportunity. I think you can have legitimate hope, actually, if he doesn't get an outlandish offer from another team, that Rodney Hood can actually be a pretty good player on a team where no one dominates the ball and everyone moves and shares it. He's shown the ability to score, but you know, I don't know what you expect to get out of Colin Sexton. He's the most promising rookie they've actually had in a while, but he hasn't played a game yet, and I'm always skeptical of rookies unless they're, you know, LeBron James or Kevin Durant. So, yeah, you are definitely right, Andy. 32 might be best-case scenario, or it's an optimistic scenario at least. You know, they could be mid to high 20s for all I know. And at what point then do you just say, hey, this is going to get us nowhere to beat our brains in to try to win 30 games. Maybe we do need to really start parting with a lot of our veteran players and just go into, I don't want to say tank mode, but complete rebuild mode, because we all know how tough it is to be in that NBA limbo mode where you're either barely a playoff team or slightly above terrible. Sometimes it's better. It goes against everything I believe in, but sometimes it's easier to get from terrible to good than it is from average or slightly below average to good. That just seems to have become the nature of the NBA.
Rick, year in and year out, you hear about how the East is kind of the weaker conference, and with LeBron moving out west, I mean, I'd imagine that it's going to continue to be that way in the time being. What are your thoughts on the East? Is it good or bad for the NBA for it to be in this spot?
Well, I think Boston and Philly will both be considerably better, and I think, you know, LeBron is astute enough about what's going on in the league to realize that even if he had stayed here, the Cavs are going to have a really hard time, I think, winning the East again. I think Boston and Philly would have been every bit as good and perhaps better than them. But outside of those two, and I say that not really knowing what's going to go on in Toronto going forward, it's not. You know, right now, honestly, it's basically a five-team league if you throw the West in there. You've got Houston, Golden State, and the Lakers out West, and you basically have Boston and Philly in the East. And then you have a couple teams that are there on the periphery that could improve. I don't really see one in the East. But, you know, you have teams like New Orleans. I don't know what Portland's going to do there. Utah, you know, is always competitive. San Antonio, you know, was a pretty good team last year without Kawhi. If they can somehow convince him to come back, be happy and motivated there, then they can be a significant challenger as well. But, you know, we're going to have, you know, 16 teams make the playoffs and only really, you know, four or five of them have a legitimate chance of winning a title. But it's been that way for a long time. It's just that we got accustomed to, in Northeast Ohio, being one of those teams that had a chance. So we weren't really all that concerned about what it meant for the rest of the league. And you know, now we're about to find out again, and we've had plenty of experience with it already, how the other half lives. And something I think we're all going to have to endure and fight through.
Well, Rick, we know you cut out some time for us today to take some time to talk to us, and we certainly do appreciate that. We know that you're back on vacation now. So thanks again for joining us. Always appreciate the time, and get out there and enjoy your vacation, man. Hopefully you get a chance to enjoy the next couple of weeks here before you have to get back after it again.
We'll do, and if anything else comes up, feel free to call me. We'll do it again.
Well, hopefully nothing else too crazy breaks unless LeBron changes his mind here in the next 10 minutes.
And you may just get my voicemail right away anyway. I might just turn the phone off and take a mid-afternoon nap. So appreciate you having me on. I wish I could have been more optimistic, but when you lose the best player in the game, it's going to hurt. And it's going to hurt in the win-loss column for a while.
No question about that. Rick, thank you as always. Enjoy your vacation.
Thank you much.
Rick Nolan with the Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette shedding some light on the Cavaliers, what they do now as they move on from LeBron James.
Well, at least we got the Indians, right?
Yes. Yes, indeed. At least we've got the Tribe.